The aliens were using human skin to fuel their spaceship.
I don't want my body to be alien fuel.
This means war.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Mark Ciaffardini with Go See Talk. Thanks for coming back to the podcast. We are here with the man, the myth, the international legend, superstar, Dominic Maurice, star of Kids vs. Aliens, Jason Eisner's homage to everything wicked, wild, and extraterrestrial. Dominic, thank you for being on the show. Jason's a big fan of wrestling. How big are you, and how'd you guys mesh on set?
Chemistry on set was definitely not really an issue because Jason actually took us to an arcade beforehand. It was crazy. So many big flashing lights. There was like a little pizza party. It was so awesome. And then when we actually got on set, there was no awkwardness. We all got to know each other beforehand. It was just super fun filming all together.
Excellent. You know, you have a line of dialogue with your sister, Sam, that really sets the tone for the film. She's complaining about, you know, a gun versus a sword. And you say, one, I don't care. Two, I'm the director. So that's how it's going to be. And three, I need to get my shot. So I think there's a lot of truth in that line of dialogue that Jason penned. So how did you and he decide, like, what was the dialogue back and forth to say, you know, I'm a young actor, but I'm competent. I feel comfortable saying this. And how did he coach you on what he wanted you to say?
Honestly, we didn't really have to do much coaching. I feel like Gary matches my personality a lot. Like if we were in a hurry, I'd say like, one, I don't care. Two, we need to get this done before it gets dark. So come on, let's go. Three, two, one, bang. And I don't know. There's just like that kind of hint of sarcasm and humor that I feel like I have if we were in that situation. So I don't feel like there wasn't a need for much coaching.
Excellent. Well, you know, I do remember being a youngster a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But I was, you know, when you're young, you tend to use your words as your weapons because, you know, you may have a foe, a lot like Billy, and you take people down with words. There's a ton of language and F-bombs dropped in this. How big did your eyes get reading the script? And are your parents okay with this?
This is like my one chance to let it all out for the rest of the next decade or two. So, I don't know. I've had roles where I've had to swear before, not to the extent of this one, but I feel like the swearing is part of the humor. So my parents didn't mind that much. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Is it too bold to ask what was your first R-rated movie? Something your parents might have snuck you into?
This one. Definitely this one. Yeah. My parents are very, very responsible.
Well, I trust that. One of the coolest things, I actually got to speak to Jason a little bit. I interviewed him at Fantastic Fest where this premiered last year. And we were talking about dinosaurs and robots and the sets. One thing I never got to ask is how cool was that cardboard robot dinosaur that Billy runs over with his car?
My heart shattered a little bit when he ran it over and it got destroyed. It was so cool and I could tell that there was so much effort put into it. And I was like, no, when it got destroyed, I got to kind of channel that energy into like, yo, what happened? Why did you do that? When he ran it over. But yeah.
Well, things like that, were there opportunities where, or maybe the uniqueness of only having one opportunity to do a shot before we don't have a plan B or there's not another, you know, knife or something that we got to get it in this shot?
I wasn't there for it, but again, I don't want to spoil the entire movie because I'm sure some people might want to see it for themselves, but there is a scene where a certain someone smashes through glass, but it's just candy glass. And I don't imagine they had an infinite supply of that. So it's probably one of them. There's also another one where I had to get dragged through water at 3 in the morning. So that was cool. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of takes to that scene.
Yeah, and I think that's the joy of this film. It harkens back to a time when it predated digital effects, and the practicality is what made it both charming and disgusting. So you're in a scene on an alien ship. Did you get to watch all that slime happen firsthand? And is there anything that you didn't get to see that maybe you wish you did?
I do kind of wish I got to see a little bit more of the alien ship because we were only on set there for like a couple, maybe like a week or something, out of like the 2.5 months of filming. And I don't know, I wanted to know more about it. Like, what's the backstory? Like, I don't know. Again, I can't spoil too much, but I don't know. I also did kind of feel bad because, there's this like liquid that like dissolves people, and one of the actors had to swallow it. So that's ugh.
I felt bad just watching that. Not only did something bad happen, which viewers and fans will find when they see the movie, but I just imagine the logistics of an actor being in that situation of just, better them than me.
Yeah.
So there is a speaking, this is again not a spoiler, but there's a jump scare that happens on the docks towards the end of the movie. And I'm just perplexed. It's where Sam is tending to one of your friends. And I just don't know how that happened. It seemed like some metal just shot way up. Were you there for that? How did they? That looked so violent and like bombastic.
Yeah, I was there for that. They used like this giant, like really concentrated jet of water, and the guy who was there had to be really careful not to get hit by it because it hurt a lot, apparently. Or was it? Or maybe it might have been an air tank too to like push it out. Either way, the outcome was phenomenal. It looked amazing.
As a cinema goer, I agree 1,000%. And more to your character, more to Jason's propensity for wrestling, you got to take it from a 10 to a 2,000. How do you amp yourself up on the set? What was asked of you, and how big of a fan of wrestling are you?
I never really watched wrestling. Like, of course, I knew the jump off the side of the ring, rah-bah, kind of thing, but I never really knew the ins and outs of wrestling. Yeah, Jason took us to like this wrestling course. I got to learn some things. I learned how to fall safely, how to get up quickly. Yeah, it was pretty all right, actually. Jason actually played my favorite music, my favorite fast music to kind of get me pumped up for the scene. It was super awesome.
Well, what was the dynamic on set? I mean, it seems like in order to make a kids movie work, you need at least four main characters. So you guys are all charming, but you have no problem pushing your limits. What was the way that you guys connected, kind of like Jason and you connected? How did you guys bond on set?
Well, we were all teenagers, so we had common interests. Most of us liked video games. We all loved the arcade, right? We found it pretty easy to talk to each other because we're all in like the same point in life. We all know what we've all been through and stuff. Especially 'cause the whole pandemic thing. But yeah, I feel like the dynamic in the movie, I'm the kind of, I think, I no, I don't think. No brains. I act first and then I think like maybe 2 hours later. Asher, who plays Jack, is just like the little one. He is the polar opposite to me, because I'm 5'1", I stand so tall. He is the brains behind the whole operation. Ben is like me, except turned up like times 2,000. He will not think at all. He is all action. And Sam is like, Sam, the older sister, is like the best of all of us. She is very thoughtful and she's pretty powerful as well, and she's not afraid to take action.
Well, I think none of you guys were afraid to take action from the risks taken to the pull no punches, no swords unswung. I can't wait to see where this goes from here. And let's just project ourselves into the future. Imagine a world far away where this gets a sequel or something crazy like that. If you could pull, Jason grew up with the 80s, and there's, I guess, are you a big fan of the 80s? And is there any characters from the 80s you would imagine dropping into this world to do battle with you?
My mom still lives in the 80s. I don't think there is a single 80s song that I do not know the band name. I forgot the question. Sorry, one more time.
Yeah, if you could take any 80s character, whether it's Indiana Jones or Flash Gordon or RoboCop, anybody from that era, or any character you want, any action hero ever, and you could put them in a sequel with you, and you guys could go toe to toe against the aliens, what would it be?
Okay, this might be a little biased because I used to watch this a lot when I was younger, but Scooby-Doo, I think that'd be really funny because there'd be like, wait, it wasn't an alien. It was our long-lost friend, Harold, from the prequel, the third Kids vs. Aliens.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We need to get Jason on the horn right now. We need to go back in time. We need to retro. We need to retcon all this stuff so it all blends seamlessly. I think we should take a small pause, and I want you, if you're up for it, nobody hypes a movie better than the actors. As a journalist, I can only do so much and say, go see Kids vs. Aliens. Jason could say Kids vs. Aliens. I think the world needs a Dominic adrenaline-infueled, I'm the greatest, come see my movie. Think you could do that for me? The movie comes out, I think, on the 20th. You want to do like a wrestling promo?
Sure, I can try that. Okay. It's been a while. This was like pre-pandemic. That's like alien to even imagine now, huh? You see what I did there?
Very nice. This guy's going places, people.
Yeah.
And 3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to soil your pantaloons? Come by January 20th for Kids vs. Aliens. Do you like gore? Do you like blood? Do you like even more gore and even more blood? Do you like kids being abducted underwater? Then this is the movie for you. Come see us January 20th!
I'm buying my tickets now. Dominic, thank you very much for being a great sport, great actor, great champion of planet Earth. We give you our thanks. Everyone, check out Kids versus Aliens coming at you January 20th.
We should have a party. Keep it small, and your parents won't find out, I promise.
One of their stupid pranks. No reason to break up the party.
Hello, film fans. This is Mark Chaffardini. Thanks for coming back to the Go See Talk podcast experience. We are here with Nova Scotia's own Calum MacDonald. How are you today? And how's things in your world?
I'm doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me. Good. Yeah, it's in Nova Scotia. Still cold. Actually, it's been kind of warm the past month, but it's just starting to get winter weathery here. But no, can't complain. Going back to school soon, so not actually kind of excited for that. So it's going pretty good, I'd say.
Okay. So you share some, if I'm not mistaken, you share some not lineage, but some territory with Jason Eisner. Where's he from, and how did you guys first meet?
Jason is from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and we actually first met about having a meeting regarding this film. He wanted to talk to me about playing for Billy, playing Billy, And that was the first time we met. It was a coffee shop about 10 minutes from my house. And basically we just talked about the character and talked about film and Nova Scotia and stuff like that. And the script. And yeah, he's a Nova Scotia born and raised. So am I. And that's always exciting when it comes to filmmaking and art. I love Nova Scotian art and films and TV shows. So it was wicked to, you know, meet him in the first place and get to work with him and, you know, be in one of his films, because I knew a little bit about Jason beforehand. Obviously that, you know, he made Hobo with a Shotgun, which is a cult favorite, Nova Scotian favorite. You know, a lot of crews, a lot of filmmakers from here worked on that show. So from generations down, it hasn't been that long, but from, you know, starting in film, everyone kind of knows about Hobo with a Shotgun in Nova Scotia. But yeah, he's an incredible guy and super happy that I was able to work with him on this.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, when you talk about Grindhouse and interests in wrestling, what are some of your interests and what got you into to be in front of the camera? What were your first acting experiences?
My family's in the film industry as well, so that kind of got my foot in the door by, you know, going to set and seeing how movies are made and kind of seeing that magic, you know, behind the scenes. So that was my first kind of, you know, glimpse into the world, and I kind of got the bug from an early age, but I never wanted to actually act until I was like, I think 13 or 14, like early teens. But yeah, I started there and asked my parents if I can go to like some acting classes and get an agent, and they were more than happy to do that. And I think my first role was on a Canadian TV show that was shot in Halifax called Mr. D. Had a couple days on that. I was super nervous. I was also very excited. And it was, then it just kind of kept going from there, working in and around Halifax and sometimes, you know, in other provinces. But yeah, just kind of keeping that acting bug dream alive and the filmmaking. I just like films and filmmaking and behind the scenes. It's just always piqued my interest.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned behind the scenes, because I talked to Dominic yesterday or the day before. And one of the things I was most excited I love the logistics of how shoots are done and what happens on the day. But there's a part where Dallas's character reemerges, let's say, that's not spoiling anything. And it is amazing to see how much practicality went into this and how things like that happened. We're just going to jump to the dock scene, an air cannon or water gun, something that got it up. What were some of your favorite sequences, and what was the enjoyable part about doing practical things in the world of Jason Eisner?
Yeah, well, doing practical things in any film, in any TV show, anytime you're on set is great as an actor, because there's something to work with, you know, rather than staring into space or, you know, making it up in your head. Using practical effects, for one, that's amazing in camera, you know, like Christopher Nolan loves practical effects. Jason loves doing practical effects. It's kind of stepping away from that CGI look that people are now used to and kind of seeing in films. And as an actor, it's great to just kind of see that. It's super cool to watch a few people rig up a dock that's about to explode for like an hour, you know, watch them rig it up and then shoot off a piece of a dock for, you know, however long they're going to shoot it, for 10 takes. It's the coolest thing. And yeah, it's fun to just to be around that and see these people that are so good at their job do what they do. It's really amazing.
Well, I have to say, this is complimenting you in the best way. Must have been really tough for you to get into character, because you seem like a very charming, charismatic person. You know, in the words of the philosopher Swift, why you gotta be so mean? I just felt like it was, you know, what were some of the conversations with Jason? Did he say things like, people are really gonna hate you? Like, what was that dialogue like?
I think, yeah. Usually on the set, when I would do horrible, like those, the scenes where Billy gets kind of horrible, I'd look around after we're cut and just, I knew a lot of the crew members from beforehand, and we get really close, and in Nova Scotia crews and filmmaking, everyone knows everybody. I'd look around, everyone's like, you, like, why? Like, I hated you for, I've known you for years, but I hate you right now. Like, it's, you suck. Or people would just be like, what? Like, Billy sucks. That was kind of, I think at one point they wanted to have a t-shirt that said fuck Billy, but I don't think we ever got that made. But yeah, it was a little tough to kind of get like that, tough in a sense and not tough, because it's kind of like a therapy. You kind of like get to let all this real world stuff that you're holding inside, just let it out, scream at people for a little bit. And you go home and you're like exhausted. It's like you ran a marathon. You're like, okay, that's good for today. I'm tired. And then you do the same scene for the next few days. But no, it was tough in a sense, but also it was just in the writing and Jason's direction that kind of helped me, you know, find them. And also the cast as a whole, you know, the kids in particular and Phoebe, they're such great listeners. They're so, and that's hard to find, especially when you're a new actor. Even I have trouble. I'm a new actor and I have trouble, you know, listening. The thing that we all have to work on as actors is just being in the moment and listening. And I found that they were so good at listening to, you know, each other and myself and reacting. Maybe I did a scene or a line a different way, or, you know, made them flinch or something like that. And they would always respond accordingly. It's not like they were just thinking about their line, you know, their next line that they were going to get, or that was theirs. They were just in the moment. And I think that helped with Jason's, you know, the way he ran the set, was that it's a safe space. It's open, be creative, give each other ideas, give me ideas, you know, do what you want to do. Like, let's talk about it, you know? So it was a testament to them too, how, you know, if that people thought that my performance was convincing, that they did half of the work, you know, they were allowed me to be free and have fun with them. And they were there just as much as I was.
Well, I think you're getting at acting is reacting. I think you set the stage for people to just reel from your performance. Was there a running count of how many F-bombs you or the collective troupe dropped? I think I lost count after about 45. It was like, ah, okay, this world record.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, and the improv, it was fun for the kids to improv too. Because again, they're at work and their parents can't say you can't swear, you know, you signed a contract, you got to go work. So they use that to their advantage. So they'd be, Dominic was really great at improvising. He would make up random lines on the spot with a bunch of F-bombs in it. And Ben, near the end of the movie, I won't spoil anything, but there's a ridiculous, a bunch of garbage words come out of his mouth and you can barely understand it. And it's a very tense scene. And every time he said it, I just burst out laughing because it was just so ridiculous. Just, I don't even know what the line was, but something about it, you're spewing something out of your shit mouth or something. And every time, and you could barely get the line out. It was like, he was struggling on it and like mumbling it so well that like, it was just so ridiculous. And everyone, all the crew was like laughing and dying at it. And I was laughing, and very unprofessional of me, but yeah, there was a lot of swear words and a lot of improv that was on set. And yeah, again, Jason allowed it and he loved that stuff. He just wanted us to play and have fun.
Walter Peck from Ghostbusters is a character you just remember for not liking. I'm pretty sure Billy is going to be up there in the halls or sitting on a pedestal of just like, and the, you know, I see that you're giving credit to Jason, which is great. But what I love about the character is that he's bad and then he's worse and he gets worse. And you just think that, okay, will your upence ever come? And it's just nice how you kept topping each scene. Mm-hmm. So what was the process of saying we're at a 10, we got to take it to a 22.
Yeah. It was just in the writing and the direction and just the way the story goes. It was fun also in the beginning of the film where he kind of woos Phoebe's character, Samantha. So we got to play around with that as well to see how Billy would be if he was not all bad. You know, he's, you know, charming her in a sort of way and then they become boyfriend, girlfriend. And it was great to go from that to, you know, one of the worst people imaginable. And it was in collaboration with, you know, there was a show that Jason told me to watch, that he was thinking about how Billy should act with Samantha and kind of his two-facedness, was F-Boy Island. It's a reality TV show where there's a bunch of like F-boys and there's some guys that actually want to have a girlfriend, and the girls have to kind of decide who's the fake, who's just here to have sex and who's here to actually be a, you know, a partner. So it was kind of like that. It's kind of deciding, is this guy for real? Like, I can't tell. Does he actually have feelings? You know, is there something deep down where he actually does care for Sam in some sort of way? But yeah, that was fun to play with and fun to kind of dive away from, get down the horrible Billy rabbit hole where that he ends up digging himself in.
Antagonists have many subtle levels. There's bad boys, there's jerks, there's a-holes. Yeah, he's on a different level. But it's so funny too, because you watch it and, you know, I see that you clearly, the tattoo on their neck is not yours. So that's maybe a tell, maybe something that did you come up with? What was that like? How did you make this character more three-dimensional?
I think that tattoo was a collaboration between, I think it was mostly, her name's Charlotte. She works on a lot of Nova Scotia productions here in Nova Scotia, but worked with her on Moonshine and on Kids vs. Aliens, and actually a few other things. But she kind of came up with this, like, I don't know if it was her and Jason or just her. I'll give her credit, and Jason. I'll give them both credit. But they saw a tattoo of Justin Bieber that's kind of near the same area, like a rose. And they're like, this would be like greasy. This is cool. And I was like, yeah, do it. And I think we slid a notch in my eyebrow as well to kind of get in the zone. And then they also wanted pictures for Billy's Instagram account. So I kind of took some of the clothes home and got my girlfriend to go take like Instagram photos for me as Billy, like smoking cigarettes and like hanging out on a bridge and just doing a bunch of trashy things and posting, pretending to post online. But all of that stuff helps on the day, helps make it more real and less like you're playing pretend, more of, you know, this is life, because I have this notch in my eyebrow and this greasy tattoo it was fun to be able to do that and have great collaborators and behind the scenes.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Instagram too, because that gave you a different facet. I mean, not that it improved your standings with the audience, but I think that it's interesting because a lot of times actors read character bios. There's discussions that happen behind the scenes that between the director and the creative staff that the audience doesn't see. But like, yeah, you're playing guitar in a video that is trying to show more of your character. And I just think that was a nice touch. You know, the movie's only an hour and 15 minutes. But there's so much to it. And I think, you know, Jason and everybody like yourself adds these little layers to it to make it sing. That said, I think I have a 7-year-old daughter. I'm going to make her watch this when she's 10, just to watch out for boys, because I think you were the proto troglodyte, in this situation. So
that was the reception.
It's like, don't trust no one. So, but how was, you know, I met Jason and interviewed him at Fantastic Fest when this came to Texas last September. Love chatting with him. This comes out on the 20th. What has been the reception so far?
I mean, I think people like it. You know, people hate Billy, which is great. That's what we were going for. And people want to see another Jason Eisner movie. And, you know, I think he brought it with this. I think he did such an amazing job. I think people are going to like it. You know, it's one of those things where you just kind of flick on. It's not too long. I think that's what some people have been saying, is that it's, you know, 75 minutes in and out. You know, you get to watch this craziness unfold for 75 minutes. And I think I was talking with like a few friends, or actually I was with my girlfriend a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, you want to watch a movie? And I checked the time and it's like 3 hours long. 3 hours. It's already like 9:30 at night. Like, I don't want to go into the morning. But yeah, just like a quick like 75, and you get like all the Jason Eisner you want. And yeah, I think people are gonna enjoy it, and hopefully they hate Billy.
Well, mission accomplished. Before we leave, There's a lot of profanity, a lot of brilliant streams of consciousness. What is your favorite curse word, and what was the first R-rated movie you ever saw?
I think fuck would be just a good, easy curse word, because it's a, as a Nova Scotian, it's kind of daily vocabulary, can go anywhere. A lot of, you know, it's just simple. It's an easy one. You know, it can go in many different circumstances or scenarios. And I'm trying to remember the first R-rated movie, because I think we were on like a roll of, my dad had a, in the back of his truck, he had one of those flip down movie screens where you just throw the DVD in the front and then you can just watch in the back with your headphones in. I think we had like the same movies for like so long. It was like Harry Potter, like all the Toy Stories, A Bug's Life. And we just like watched those on repeat. And I don't know if The Dark Knight is R-rated or not. I think it's like 14A probably. But we just watched those movies so many times. So it's hard to remember like the first R-rated one. I'll show you. The one recently that I watched was Barbarian. Love that movie. I know, you know.
That's a good one.
I was the only one in the theater other than two other people. Oh, I went by myself, I guess. It wasn't the only one, but two other people. And yeah, it was just a great experience just to watch. You know, I love watching movies in the movie theater. It's dying, which sucks. But hopefully it's, you know, coming back. Because it's the it's where movies are meant to be watched, and it's just amazing. Just go kind of, especially it's great when you're by yourself. It's like you got your own private movie theater wherever you are, and just go watch a movie. But yeah, Barbarian was great, and yeah, I'll have to get back to you on the first R-rated movie because my memory is shot.
Well, listen to this dude, Calum. He knows what he's talking about. So thank you so much for your time. Everyone check out Jason Eisner's Kids vs. Aliens. If you want Sword of Doom, Sword of Omens, robots, dinosaurs, guns, knives, and all, check out Kids vs. Aliens on January 20th.